It's Wednesday, March 19th, 2008. I'm Tim Burden with Bree Walt and Melissa D'Souza, and this is Centennial College Radio News to 10 o'clock. In the weather, continuing drizzle all day today with a high of plus 6. And here's what's making news today. U.S. presidential hopeful Barack Obama has made an important speech on race. Serbia is calling back its ambassador in protest over Canada's recognition of Kosovo. And a Ryerson student facing expulsion over a Facebook group gets off easy. Now to our top story. Barack Obama has pinned his presidential hopes on a speech about race. In a 45-minute speech delivered in Philadelphia last night, Obama asked Americans to confront their stereotypes about race and skin color. The Obama camp had hoped to avoid the race issue during this campaign, but comments from an Illinois preacher who is friends with Obama forced him to play the race card. The Reverend Jeremiah White has said that America is no better on the race front than it was in the 50s. Obama has denounced White's comments, saying White never spoke like that when he was in church. An editorial in the Dallas Morning News this morning called the address the most important major speech on race since Martin Luther King died, and said it probably saved Obama's candidacy. Serbia's ambassador to Canada, Dusan Batakovic, is angry that Canada has recognized Kosovo as an independent country. He says Ottawa disrespected his country's constitution, United Nations resolutions, and international law by backing Kosovo. The breakaway republic declared its independence a month ago. Comparing Kosovo to Quebec, Batakovic asked how Canadians would feel if Quebec separated and then other countries backed the move. But Foreign Affairs Minister Maxime Bernier said the wars leading up to Kosovo's separation from Serbia make their case unique, and that a comparison between Kosovo and Quebec is unwarranted. Batakovic will head back to Serbia by the end of the week as a gesture of protest. An 18-year-old Ryerson student is breathing a little easier this morning. A committee struck to consider Chris Avenir's future at the university decided yesterday that it would not expel the engineering student over a Facebook group he ran. The invitation to the group invited students to share the answers to their homework problems. Ryerson officials say that's cheating. A relieved Avenir says he has no regrets over the Facebook group, but that he might pay more attention to misconduct policies in the future. In local news, an unlikely East End neighborhood is becoming a regular setting for violent deaths. Many people living in the area are shaken up after a recent rush hour shooting. One resident says she's appalled these crimes are happening here. Abby Crosby has the story.
For a quiet neighborhood, Riverdale is seeing a lot of violence. In the last 4 months, there have been 3 shootings. Hu Chen Mao is the most recent victim of gun violence. He died on January 17th. He was working at a supermarket on Girard Street East when he got caught in the crossfire of a shootout. Jenna Germain has lived in Riverdale for 2 years. She says she's shocked by the latest death near her home.
Who opens fire on a street full of people? I mean, in what realm is that a good idea?
Mao is the second innocent bystander this year to die from gunshot wounds. John O'Keefe was shot walking along Yonge Street 4 days earlier. He was 42 years old. Germain says she's scared that people are using guns so recklessly.
Shooting a gun is easy. Hitting what you shoot is not easy. It looks easy in the movies, but it's not. And more often than not, shooting at something, you're going to miss.
The incidents have many people talking about gun control again. Germain isn't sure if the city can do anything to stop the violence.
I really don't know what the city can be doing other than, you know, what it's already doing in terms of police and everything else.
Police are still looking for Mao's killer. They're asking residents to come forward with any information. In the meantime, Jenna Germain is locking her doors. In Riverdale, I'm Abby Crosby for Centennial College Radio News.
Now we'll send it over to Bree Walt for a look at sports. Bree?
Thanks, Tim, and hello, sports fans. They're that much closer to the playoffs. The Leafs beat out the New York Islanders 3-1 last night. They were down 1-0 until the third period when they got goals from Pavel Kubina, Kyle Wellwood, and Alexei Ponikarovsky. The game was full of excitement and saw Leafs without Matt Sundin, who is out with a groin injury, and Nick Antropov, who has a knee injury. Carlo Koliakovo was taken off during the first period with an injured hamstring after being hit by Islander Sean Bergenheim. In basketball, the Houston Rockets had their 22-game winning streak washed away by the Boston Celtics. The Celtics beat out the Rockets 94-74, with Kevin Garnett scoring 22 points and Paul Pierce adding another 20. This was the first loss for the Rockets since January 27th. In other sports, University of Toronto women's basketball team began their Wednesday night game hoping to dispatch the winless RMC Paladins. Three Blues players sat out with injuries. They looked to the bench to pick up the slack. Matt McKay reports.
Toronto on the ball for most of the night as the Varsity Blues crushed the RMC Paladins at the Athletic Center 67-25. The win puts the Blues on top of their division, 2 points ahead of their rivals from York. Blues head coach Michelle Belanger was clearly impressed with her players' performance.
I think they're working very hard, and I'm pleased with a lot of the progress, and I hope that we can get to be more communicative out on the court, and that would be our biggest weakness right now, is that we don't talk to each other enough while we're playing. And if we can get that piece going, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape.
Co-captain Christine Cho led the Blues offense with 18 points. She said the game proved just how deep their bench is.
The team is pretty deep, and that's, like, this proves it, right? So, everyone contributed, and it was really good.
But starting next weekend, the league-leading Blues schedule gets a whole lot tougher. Four of their last six regular season games are against two teams right behind them in the standings, York and Laurentian. The Blues will first travel to York and Laurentian this weekend, followed by games at Ottawa and Carleton the following weekend. But first place will most likely be decided during the final weekend of the season in Toronto when York and Laurentian come to town. If the Blues manage to hang on to first, they will have dethroned their rivals from York, who have won the division the past 3 years. I'm Matt McKay, Centennial College Radio News.
In other sports news, Michael Andretti and his company Andretti Green Promotions hopes to buy the Grand Prix Association of Toronto's assets. The company issued a letter of intent March 14th, which runs until April 30th, and they believe that racing's future is in Toronto. If they proceed to the next step, that is to launch a purchase agreement with the association. France's foreign affairs minister may soon follow in the footsteps of Prince Charles and Steven Spielberg, who have protested the Beijing Olympics because of violence that China is not stopping. Bernard Kouchner has suggested a mini boycott of the games, including only the opening ceremonies. Kouchner is upset that China has allowed the violent protests in Tibet to continue. He does not want to boycott the entire duration of the event, believing that will only hurt the athletes, but thinks a partial boycott might send the right message. He plans to raise the boycott issue at a UN meeting next week. Canadian figure skating team Tessa Virtue and Scott Moir are currently in second place at the World Figure Skating Championship in Sweden. Virtue and Moir, both from Ontario, came in sixth last year. The pair got second in the Argentine Tango Compulsory Tuesday. They skate the original dance Thursday and are a close second place to Isabelle Dolobol and Olivier Schoenfelder of France. And that's all from the world of sports. Don't turn that dial, because here's Melissa with the buzz from Hollywood.
Thanks, Bree, and good morning, everyone. The entertainment world said goodbye to two well-known artists Tuesday. Oscar-winning director Anthony Minghella died suddenly at the young age of 54. He died as a result of complications from a recent surgery. Minghella is best known for his work with films like The English Patient and The Talented Mr. Ripley. And science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke died at the age of 90 of respiratory issues related to a long-term polio illness. Clarke is most famous for his work on the book 2001, A Space Odyssey. According to Reuters, Clarke had wished for three things on his most recent birthday: for E.T. to call, for man to kick his oil habit, and for peace in Sri Lanka. In other entertainment news, Gary Busey has finally apologized to Jennifer Garner. The apology comes 1 month after his Oscar carpet stint. Busey rudely interrupted Garner's red carpet interview when he hugged and kissed her on the neck. Talk about first impressions. And in local entertainment, an award-winning Toronto poet has managed to be intellectual, erotic, and even bestial, all in a single performance at Toronto's Art Bar Poetry Series at Clinton's Tavern. Stephen Humphrey reports.
Please welcome Angela Rawlings.
Toronto's long-running Art Bar Poetry Series is known for being eclectic. One of their featured poets was Angela Rawlings. She's a thinking poet's poet, but she's also a performer. She knows how to reach an audience.
Wolves, the low noise of the noise, wolves howl. Wolves overwhelm the tree line. Wolves know the moon, their silhouettes, wolves. Wolves. Who will howl, wolves, moist souls, their sonowolfish wolves, with their noses, noises, no wolves, wo-ho-hos, wo-wo-woo!
little bit too around these these arch literary themes of man versus nature, man versus the supernatural. So kind of thinking about this versus thing and a tendency to use the pronouns in English anyway as a signifier of ownership or of possession. Starting to think about this is my tree, this is my garden, this is my dog, this is like that.
So no, sorry, a 2-year-old logic.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Rowling's new poem has the working title Ecology. She hopes to spit it into a piece for many voices with her performance troupe, Theater Co-Mutiny.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
This is Stephen Humphrey with the Art Bar Poetry Series at Clinton's Tavern in Toronto.
And that's all for me. Now let's send it back to Tim for the wrap.
Thanks, Melissa. Recapping our lead story, Barack Obama delivered a groundbreaking speech on race last night that may have saved his presidential hopes. For all of us here at Centennial College Radio News, I'm Tim Burton. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more news at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca.